Somebody shout amen. 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 Who's excited to get in the Word of God this morning? Come on. Oh, baby, let me tell you. Woo! I'm pumped. And here's the reason. As we're starting a brand new series, and this series, I told you on Facebook and Instagram, if you follow us, okay, if you don't already, go follow us at Radical Church. But I wanted to just say how important it is to be here over the next 6 weeks. It's incredibly important. Like, this is going to change everything for our church. And some of you guys already know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But this is a series where, man, our church is going to step into something new. We're going to be able to make some really exciting announcements to you guys over the course of the next 6 weeks. And I just want you to be a part of it, okay? So if you're coming today, you're one for one. Good for you. If you're online today, you're one for one. Good for you. But I'd ask if you can, try to be in person. Because, man, I just believe God's going to do some powerful things, and you got to be in the room. Come on. So we're going to look today. We're starting a new series called Altar. Somebody say altar. And we're going to look at many altars that were built in the Bible. But first, I just want to figure out, hey, what is an altar? What's an altar? Well, the first altar is mentioned where Noah builds an altar to God of thankfulness, of praise. But there's also some inferred altars that may have been built even before that. Cain and Abel, when they bring their offerings to God, it's supposed and inferred potentially that there may have been an altar that they sacrificed their offerings on. We don't know that, though. We can infer it, but we don't know that. So the first one that we see is Noah. And there's over 400 references to altars in the Bible. 400 references. That's a lot of references for something that I feel like we don't really know a whole lot about, right? How many of you Christians here in this place today are believers in Jesus? You've been in church a whole long time, and you hear of the word altar, and you're like, yeah, okay, cool, that's where they did sacrifices and stuff. But like, you don't really know much about it beyond that, right? I mean, it's just something we don't really talk a whole lot about. Maybe we talk about doing an altar call where you come up to the front and you give your life to Jesus. How many of y'all grew up Pentecostal and charismatic like me? Come on, anybody else in the room? Come on, we did altar calls every single Sunday, and I was at the front getting saved every single Sunday, you know what I mean? It's like I always had something to get saved again for, you know? And we'll actually do an altar call today. We're gonna invite people to come up to the front and pray. Really what that is we're saying, you know what? In Romans, it says that we are to present ourselves as what? A living sacrifice. That we put ourselves even at the altar of God. When we come up to the front, we're putting action to what God is doing in our heart and in our mind. We're saying, hey, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to actually go to the front and say, God, would you do something in my life? I'm presenting myself to you today. God, I need you. I need you, Lord, in my life to do something powerful. And so we come up to the front as this altar saying, I'm putting myself out there for you, Jesus. And so, but what was an altar in the Old Testament? It was a raised platform with a flat surface, and it had to be rocks that were not allowed to be cut at all. This is what God said. He gave him a very specific command. You're not allowed to have any cut stones. And I want to read this to you. It says in Exodus 20, he's giving this command. Make an altar of earth for me. Sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. Now, why did God command them to be uncut stones? That's kind of like a very odd request from God, isn't it? And you would think that initially, you would think that God would say, make sure that they're the best stones, right? You got to have your first and your best offering. Many times that's what God says. Bring your first fruits, the best offering, the best of the cattle, the best of the sheep, the best of, you know. And so you would think, why aren't we using some nice bricks that we've cut into very nice portions and they're perfectly sized? Why aren't we using like the, you know, the landscaping things that you put around your garden? But why aren't we using those and really building up something great and beautiful for the Lord? You would think that that would be the case, but he says, no, I want them to be uncut stones. Why is that? Well, if you know anything about the nations around them at the time, what did they worship? They worshiped idols. How did they make these idols? They would take their tools and they would cut into the stone and they would make their designs. and they would make these idols, and then they would worship them. And so you know what God is saying? He said, you know what? You don't have to add anything to these stones. I don't want you to be like the nations around you. Because if you go ahead and you chisel a little bit and you make it into this nice little brick, that's going to be great. But you know what? I know the human condition. And I know that eventually you're going to keep cutting and you're going to keep tooling it a little bit more. And then eventually you're going to start building something that resembles an idol. And that's not me. He says, you know what? The uncut stones, you don't have to do anything. I don't want you to add anything to what I'm doing because I'm the one that makes these stones holy. Why? Because I told you to do it. It has nothing to do with you. And it has everything to do with me. That's what God is trying to say in that moment. And so many times after God would work a miracle, God's people would build an altar. And these altars were places of sacrifice where people would bring their first and their best offerings to God. And they were often built to commemorate a powerful encounter that they had with God at a specific time in a specific place. And they would build these altars as a way of saying, hey, remember what God did there. Remember what God did back in the day. And I just believe maybe for us today, God might not be calling us to build a physical. I'm not saying that at the end of the day, you need to go home and in your backyard get a big pile of uncut stones and build this big altar in your backyard. People probably start to think you're a little weird, okay? You could do that if you want to. God's not commanding us to do that. But I do think that there's something powerful about the idea of having something physical and having some kind of altar to say, you know what? I remember when God changed my life 30 years ago. I mean, I remember what the miracle that God did this last week, last year, when man, God did this and he healed this and he changed this in my life. I think it's powerful to have some imagery of that, to be able to say, hey, kids, hey, grandkids, and this is what God did in my life. Whether it could even be digital at this point, could be a photo, could be a place that you can go back to and say, man, that's where I got saved, at that camp or at that place many, many years ago. But Noah and Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, David, Gideon, and so many others, they built these altars to remember God's faithfulness. And so today, I'm going to start kind of at the very beginning, and I want to talk about a famous altar that was built by Abraham. Now, he built four that we really know of and that we talk a whole lot about, but we believe there's a whole lot more than that. But I'm going to talk to you about probably the most famous one. It's in Genesis 12. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. Remember, we just got through the book of Joshua, where they finally stepped in and took possession of all of the land that God had promised them. That was last week. If you missed last week, go watch it, talking about taking ground for the kingdom of God. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he builds this altar of thankfulness and of praise, and he builds this altar. And in another place, we see God, he gives this promise to Abram, but then he gives it to him multiple times. He wants to reassure him that, hey, listen, this promise I've given you, all my promises are yes and amen, and I'm good for my word, okay? And so he says it over and over and over again. But there's another place in Scripture where it says that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. Isn't that amazing? We didn't have light pollution back then, okay? So you got to imagine in the evening as Abram is looking up to the stars, how many hundreds of thousands of stars would you be able to see? And maybe you've gone out into the desert before. If you've gone out, I used to go to Big Bend National Park. My uncle used to be a part of the staff there that ran the national park. And so we would go out there to visit. Man, I remember we would go to Big Bend and we would just be sitting out camping late at night, and there ain't no lights out there. And you would look up, and if you've been in a situation like that and you've been able to see how many stars, it's just absolutely mesmerizing. It's beautiful. And for Abram to be there and for God to tell him that, you got to imagine, he's like, no way. There are so many stars up there. This is incredible. And so what is God giving him in that moment? God is giving him a promise of a generational blessing. Not a blessing that's just for him, but a blessing for his kids and for his grandkids. Come on, today, how many of you want a generational blessing for your family? A blessing that's going to outlive you. A blessing that's for you, but it's also for your kids, it's for your grandkids, and for generation after generation. Come on, I want that kind of blessing if you want to say amen. Amen. So Abraham builds an altar at this place, and as he builds it, I believe that he is giving his amen to God's promise. You know what amen means? It just means let it be so. Let it be. You're saying yes to the thing that God has already promised. And so he's building this altar, and I just believe he's saying, you know what, God has given me this promise. And as I build this altar for my family one day, I'm putting my stamp of yes to the promise of God. I believe that there are blessings that will flow down from you to your children and then to your children's children, to them and all the way beyond. And this is seen all throughout Scripture. It says in Deuteronomy 7, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. It's not just to one or two generations, but it's to 1,000 generations that God is going to show his love to those that love and serve him. But instead of seeing these generational blessings, and we look to Scripture, and instead of seeing a generational blessing in our life, many times what we see is generational bondage instead. This is where Satan has control of an entire family. It just feels like that our whole family struggles with this thing. It's usually a specific area in a family. And it's as if Satan just has a hold. It's a stronghold. And it's this bondage that he has your family in. And it's like, well, my grandparents dealt with this, and my parents dealt with this, and I, you know what I'm saying? And we look to that a whole lot. We look to our past, and we see these lines of generational bondage. It's like this area where it seems like the chain just can't be broken. And so when I ask you, what are you seeing in your life? What are you seeing in your family? And today, I want to encourage us to declare that bondage is broken in the name of Jesus. Amen? I want to declare that today, and I want somebody to get excited about what God's going to do in this place today, because generational blessing is coming your way. Amen? And we want to declare that blessing is on the way and that bondage is broken in the name of Jesus. It's not because of anything that I do, but it's all because of what he has done in me. Amen? That's what it's all about. So today the message is titled, Blessing or Bondage. If you're taking notes, write this down, Blessing or Bondage. And as we start Altar Week 1, I'm so excited for this. I want to say this first thing. Generational bondage is not a curse from God, but a stronghold of the enemy. It's not a curse from God, but a stronghold of the enemy. How many of y'all know that we do not live in the old covenant anymore, but we live under a new covenant of grace with God? Isn't that amazing? It's a new covenant. It's a new day. There's the Old Testament and then the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it talks a whole lot about the generational curses and how the sins of the father go down to the son, even down to the third and to the fourth generation. Well, some people would say, well, God is putting a curse on these people, but I just think, let's be practical about it for a second. If I struggle with alcoholism, what are the chances that my son is also going to struggle with that? Pretty high. And if he struggles with it, what are the chances that his son is going to struggle with it? And it over time becomes bondage. Over time, it becomes the curse of the family. But either way you look at it, what I know today is that Jesus on the cross broke every curse, that Jesus on the cross broke every chain, and that you and I have the opportunity to say yes to the generational blessing that God wants to give, and it's all through his son, Jesus. Come on. If everyone maybe in the family, maybe they struggle. You might say it like this, man, my whole family, they struggle with addiction. Everybody in my family. It's like my granddad had problems with alcohol or drugs. My dad, problems with alcohol and drugs. And now I got problems with alcohol. Now, who knows if my son's going to have the same problem as me? Probably. Right? Maybe it's sexual sin. It's like, well, everybody in my family has had babies young and before marriage, right? You know, it's like, maybe you'll say, well, my mom, she, or my grandma had my mother when she was 19. And my mom had me when I was, or when she was only 16. And now it's like, am I going to have a baby when I'm 16 or 17, 18? You know, it's like, it's a generational thing. Brokenness. Well, we all struggle with mental health issues. My whole family has anxiety. My whole family has trauma. My whole family has depression, or maybe it's poverty. Every generation of my family has been poor, and we, you know, we don't really come from much, and there's really no hope for me to have more. Maybe it's divorce for you. And you'd say, well, my grandparents were divorced. My parents were divorced. Now I'm divorced. You know, are my kids going to have to go through the same thing, the broken home? What is this? This is generational bondage, y'all. And I believe that the enemy loves to work through the bloodline. He wants to take out your family. He wants to keep them in chains today. Satan wants nothing more to than to have you to think that there's nothing you can do about it. Right? He wants you to think that this is a generational bondage and these are chains that we have on. And this, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We're just going to have to live with it. This is just a part of our family line. This is just what we struggle with in our family. You talk about it at Thanksgiving. Like, yeah, like he's just, this is what we deal with. Yeah, I know. Yeah, all of us alcoholics, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's the wine? You know what I mean? Like, you just accept it as if it's a part of your family and that there's nothing you can do about it. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. What does the Word of God say? Is that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What has he done? He has stolen your hope for a better future. He has stolen your hope for your family's future. So don't let him steal your hope today. Why? Because generational bondage can be broken. Somebody say amen today. It's through one name alone. It's the chain breaker, the hope giver, the hope dealer. His name is Jesus Christ. Come on. The Bible calls him what? Our living hope. He is alive and he is our living hope. He's our Savior. And he breaks chains today because he's already broken every chain 2,000 years ago when he beat death, hell, and the grave on that cross. It says in Luke 4:18, this is Jesus talking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Come on, Jesus sets the captives free, and he has declared a generational blessing over you and your family. Man, I love Jesus, and I'm so thankful for Jesus, and you could say that all day long, but you can know all of these things and still be oppressed. You can know this about Jesus and still be depressed. You can still be bound up in chains because someone has to receive the blessing first. Eventually, someone in the family line has to stand up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're done with this. You know, my granddad's dealt with this and my dad dealt with this, but I'm not going to deal with this anymore because I'm going to stop this generational bondage. I'm going to break this thing in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to declare a generational blessing now on down the line with my kids. Somebody has to say enough is enough. And maybe that's you today. Maybe that was your mom. Maybe that was your grandma. Maybe that was your dad. I don't know, but somebody in this place has to do it. I'm not going to let Satan steal, kill, and destroy my hope. I'm not doing it, not today. But I'm going to break this bondage, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I'm going to be the one to rewrite the story for this family. And man, I believe maybe for someone here today, today is the day for you to make that happen. So Paul, he's talking to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says this, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. What is he saying to him here? He's saying, Timothy, man, your faith, it didn't start with you. It didn't start with your mama, but it started with your grandmama. And as she got in her prayer closet, come on now, as she went to the war room, how many of y'all got a grandma that prays, is in the war room, in the prayer closet? Come on now. I know I had a grandma that absolutely prayed for me and would pray for my family. And he's saying, it didn't start with you, but it started with Lois. She was a woman of God, had faith in the Lord. And then she had your mother Eunice, and she prayed that she would also become a woman of God. And as your mother grew up, she also grew up in the faith. And then she had you, Timothy. And she taught you well. And she reminded you of the faithfulness of God. And of the spiritual altars that your grandmother and your mother built through prayer, those spiritual altars are still active and alive today, and they're through you, Timothy. And your genuine faith, it's a direct result of people that have been praying for you. Come on, I don't know if you have a family member that's been praying for you, or you have somebody that's believing God for the best for you. Maybe you today are that person praying for your children and for your grandchildren. And maybe there's nobody praying in your family, and you're the only one, and you're like, man, I'm not even praying right now. Maybe God is calling you to start the chain of prayer for your family and to start building altars of generational blessing and not generational bondage in your family. Listen, if addiction can be passed, so can sobriety. Amen? Amen. If sexual sin can be passed, so can purity. If brokenness can be passed, so can wholeness. Listen, if poverty can be passed, so can provision in the name of Jesus. If divorce can be passed, so can a healthy marriage. Listen, if bondage can be passed down from generation to generation, how much more can the blessing of God be passed down from generation to generation? We got to remember that the blessing of God is greater than the bondage of the enemy, and yet all we do is look at the bondage. Do we not? We look at the past and we say, oh, man, you know, my granddad did this, or my grandma did this, and man, my parents did this, and I'm doing this, and it's like, the devil's just stealing your hope. He's got you in chains, and he's got you locked up. And we're not looking to our future. We're not looking to what Jesus has for us. Come on, I believe that God has much better plans for you than you even have for yourself. Certainly much better plans than what the enemy has for you. So let's look to our future and let's have the living hope, Jesus Christ. Come on, Psalm 103:17. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to what? The children's children. Luke 1:50, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. And God desires, I believe, that just like Abraham, that your descendants will be blessed through you. Now, you notice when in that first verse that we read about Abram, who becomes Abraham, it doesn't say all the nations will be blessed because of you. It says all the nations will be blessed through you. Those are two different things. I say, oh, it's just because of you, because of what you do. No, it's literally because of who you are. It literally goes through you. That God, the blessing comes from God. It flows through me and then down to those who come after me. The blessing is planted within me from above, and then the fruit grows within me, and then the seeds are dropped, and then from my kids to their kids to their kids, the blessing comes from God through me and down on the line. So it's not just because of you. It's literally God wants to do something in you and through you to your children and beyond. And I put it to you this way, is that every deed produces a seed. Every deed produces a seed. So what seeds are you planting in your family? Are they seeds of bondage? Are you continuing the same old, right? Or are you doing the same things that your dad did and your mom did? Are you continuing that? Or are you planting seeds of blessing? Are you the one that's going to break the chain today? Am I looking at the bondage of my family's past, or am I looking toward the blessing of my family's future? Because how many of y'all know that your past does not define your future? Come on, somebody say amen. You got to know that today in the house. When Jesus got on the cross, he took every curse and every evil plan of the enemy and threw it right back to hell where they came from. Come on now. He died so that you could have life. He got out of the grave so that you could get out of the bondage that you are stuck in right now. He breaks every lie and every plan of the enemy, but you have to declare it over your family. I'll put it to you this way. Jesus has given you the blessing, but you have to build the altar. You have to receive the blessing, and then you have to build the altar of thankfulness and praise and put your amen onto the promise of God. Let it be so. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be able to go back today, 30 years from now, and I'm going to be able to say, you know what? I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. I remember when I said yes to God at that crazy radical church in that warehouse where they had no parking. Come on now. Ken is saying amen from the booth. All right. And I remember when the chains were broken and when I said, you know what? Enough is enough of this. I'm done. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going after you, Lord. And maybe you've given your life to God. Like I said, you can know the promise of God. You can have the blessing. You can have salvation and still be in chains. You understand this? But Jesus didn't die so that you could get saved and still be in chains. He died to, what, set the captives free. He who is free is free indeed. Shall we go on sinning? No, no. Let's get free from this stuff today. And let's declare generational blessing for your kids and for your grandkids, for your family. But you have to build the altar. You have to come to the altar. You got to get on your hands and knees sometimes. And you got to say, God, I can't do this without you. This is a generational thing. This is much bigger than me. But God, you're the God of generations. You're the God of my family. You're the God of the universe. There's nothing too big for you. And sometimes you just got to make your way to the front. You got to make your way to the altar. You got to get up out of your seat and say, I'm coming to the altar, God. I'm going to do something. And listen, your decisions today affect your descendants tomorrow. Abraham obeyed God. He went to a land that God would show him. And his decision to obey God, it changed the course of history forever and ever. So when you obey God, it doesn't only just affect you, but it affects everybody around you. And it affects your kids and your grandkids. When you obey God, when you do what he says for you to do, when you give your life to him, when you live a life that honors him, it just goes down the generations. And so when Abram finally gets to the land that he was promised, he builds this altar of praise, of thanksgiving. And he's saying, you know what? This is where God spoke to me. And I want my kids and grandkids to be able to come back to this place and say, you know what? This is where God spoke to Granddaddy Abraham, who had many sons. Come on now. So I just believe somebody needs to declare the blessing of God over your family this morning. And stop listening to the enemy who's declaring generational bondage. Say, you know what? We're speaking against the enemy. We're saying yes to what God has. I'm going to build an altar for my family and say, today is the day that the curse is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Today is the day that changes everything. Today is the day of salvation for my family. Today is the day of freedom, but not just for me, because I want a blessing that outlives me. I want a freedom for my kids. I want freedom for my grandkids. I want them to know Jesus and to follow him for the rest of their days. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about generations. Man, God is a God of generations. We are so caught up in the here and now sometimes, but God is like, what legacy are you leaving? And you know, when I'm long and gone, man, I want to make sure that my kids know Jesus and that their kids know Jesus and that they will be able to say, man, you know what? Our granddaddy Trevor, oh man, he loved the Lord and he prayed for us and he broke some generational curses in our family's life that we now get to receive the blessing of. Just like Timothy, Eunice, and Lois. Come on now, who's going to be the Lois? Who's going to be the Eunice today? Who's going to be the Timothy today? Listen, today is the day we build an altar where we give thanks to God for his blessings, to remind our families that this was the day that he set us free. And so I want us to stand all over this place. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song called The Blessing. And it's simply a song we're going to speak over you. And man, I want you to sing it. I want you to receive it, right? Jesus gives the promise and the blessing, and we have to receive the blessing. Amen. But what I want to ask you to do today is all across the front, I want somebody that says, you know what? I am going to break the bondage in my family's life today, right here, right now. Maybe it started with your grandma and she's been praying for you, and man, you're gonna break that thing for your kids. Maybe there's been nobody praying for you and you are the first person to say, you know what? We're done with this. We're moving toward the future that God has for us. If that's you and you wanna pray against the enemy and against generational bondage and you wanna declare a generational blessing over your family, I need you up at the front right now. And I want you to either get on your hands and knees or lift your hands up in the air and start to pray and say, God, would you bring blessing to my family? God, would you bring blessing to my kids? Lord, we need you. I need your presence to lead us and guide us. The way that you led Abram into the land and into the promise that you gave for him. God, I want you to lead me so that my kids will have an inheritance, that I can leave a legacy for my children. From this day forward, God, everything is changing. The curse is broken in the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, I need you at the front. I want you to pray. I want you to ask God. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. Get up here if that's you. You know that you need to have some things broken off your life. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you today. Come to the front and worship Jesus. We're going to sing this song, and I believe God's going to break some chains in the house today. Come on, let's worship Jesus for just a moment.
Since fall of 2021. Me and my family weren't in the church. We were kind of far from God. We didn't really have a relationship at all. My daughter got invited by one of her friends to youth. So she started going to youth. Then she started being interested in going to church. She kept asking, and I wasn't ready yet. I know I was feeling like a nudge to find God again, but I just wasn't ready yet. I remember feeling very welcomed. Everybody was so nice. And even one of the church members came and sat with me because she knew I was by myself. That first service, I saw everybody worshiping, and it was new to me, but I really enjoyed it. And at the end of the service, after the worship, the pastor asked if anybody wanted to give their life to Jesus. And, he started saying all the things that I was going through. And so I raised my hand. I just felt like a sense of relief and freedom from that. And I knew I wanted to learn more about him. So I bought a Bible, and me and Nevaeh started coming on our own together. I brought my other kids with me, and my husband started coming, and we really enjoyed the connection with the church. Everybody was so nice, and we started being more involved when we got the building. We wanted to serve, so we started all serving together, and we joined a group, and I really enjoyed the connection and the groups. Me and my husband were doing this group. We're serving, we're finding our faith in God every day. We're still learning and we're still growing. During Easter, the pastor asked us all to fast, and me and my family decided to fast for that as a family. We were kind of like in a hard spot with our home. Our daughter was wanting to move back with us, and we didn't have a lot of space in our home. We know we needed a bigger house, but we just didn't know how or, you know, where that money was gonna come from or anything. And so we all as a family decided to fast from something that wasn't serving us or something that we knew we could get better at. Even my 8-year-old son found something, and we all did it for the 21 days. And we asked for prayer in regards to a new home and just in regards to the church too, just praying for everybody. And the home that we're in now since April is all from God, because we don't know how we got that home and how we're, you know, being able to afford it, but here we are doing it. We see miracles every day in our family that are happening, from our grandbaby being dedicated. I'm like raising my grandbaby like how I wish I could have raised my kids from the very beginning. I'm just really grateful for Radical and everything they've done for our family and how welcoming they've been. And I just can't wait to see the future and be involved and help more people and have them feel that same welcoming that I felt when I first came.
Declare this over our families. Come on. Generational curse over your life, the generational bondage that Satan has had you trapped in, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom for somebody today. Come on, we declare by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that we are free, that our kids are free, that our grandchildren are free. God, we say right now in the name of Jesus, we reject the enemy. We say yes to Jesus. Come on, we worship you in this place. One more time, let's sing amen. Sing amen. Come on, every voice, every voice. Let's lift it up. We're saying let it be. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be done. We declare wholeness, healing, life in the name of Jesus. You know, I just believe that maybe there's somebody here in this place today that you need to say yes to God. You need to say yes to Him because you might be the very first person. Today might be the day. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he's saying, it all started for you with Lois. Maybe that's you. You didn't have a grandma or a granddad that prayed for you. You didn't have a parent that prayed for you. Maybe you're the first person in the line, in the family tree that needs to say, you know what? I'm giving my life to Jesus right here, right now. I am building an altar today where I'm going to be able to remember 30, 40 years from now, my kids and my grandkids are going to be able to say, man, I remember the day that grandma, grandpa gave their life to Jesus. Why? Because they tell me about it all the time. Come on now. And so I just believe that there's somebody in this place. You need to get right with God. And what does that look like? The Bible says that all you have to do is confess your sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It's not a special prayer that you have to pray. It's just recognizing, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner. We're all sinners and I need Jesus. I believe He died on the cross and He rose again on the third day. He's alive and well and His Spirit is here today. His Spirit is what draws the heart of man back to God. It's a God who loves you. It's a God who cares for you. Our mission is that every person would know the radical love of Jesus that He has for them. And so maybe some of you, you're in this place and you're saying, hey, I'm feeling the love of God today. And I don't have all my answers. I don't have all the questions answered. I don't have everything figured out. But you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. If that's you, would you be so bold as to raise your hand and look up at me today? I want you to be bold in this place. I'm giving my life to God. Come on, I see you over here, guys. Anybody else? Right here at the front. My man, right here, guys. Come on, right here, right here, right here, right here. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? Ma'am, I see you. Anybody else in this place today? Come on, Donald. I love you, brother. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Raise your hand. I want to see you. I want to see you. Come on, beautiful, beautiful. My man, back in, I see you, my brother. Come on. Hey, all across this room, can we pray this prayer together? Let's encourage those that are giving their life to Jesus. I see about 10 people saying yes to Jesus today. Come on now. Let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, today I'm building an altar of thankfulness for You. I give my life to You. I confess my sins to You. Would You make me a new person? The old man is gone. The new man has come. In the name of Jesus, I have new life because of You, Jesus. And it's in Your name we pray. Come on, somebody shout amen, and let's give God a shout of praise in the house today. God is good. Hey, we love You. We're thankful for You. Let's declare blessing over our families. God bless you. We'll see you next week.